My guest at this time is John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, it's always great to have you with us.
Always great to be here. Thanks for having me, Greg.
John, let's start on the economic side of things. Earlier this week, the president releasing his budget for the coming year. It's about $3.8 trillion, a deficit of $1.33 trillion. And the debate is pretty much as most people would expect. Republicans saying it's more of the same, big deficits, big tax increases proposed on the wealthy. The president and his allies saying that this is the way forward, and the amount of recovery we're seeing right now will be exacerbated if we follow this, and we'll go in the opposite direction if we don't. So how big is this? Will this be the template for the fall campaign, or is this just a couple days story?
It's already been a couple of days story. The president unveiled it on Monday. There were no surprises in it. Massive cuts in defense, which is a little bit stunning because we're cutting back on our defenses as Iran boasts that it's actually coming closer to nuclear musketry. That's pretty incredible in itself. In addition, the tax cuts on those Americans who make $200,000 or more, that is, the Bush tax cuts, are set to expire, and that's where the president will affect a major tax increase if he gets his way. If it all sounds familiar, it's because this was debated last year intently, and I found it most interesting. At the press briefing at the White House on Tuesday, Press Secretary Jay Carney had precisely one question about the budget. Everything else was about either Syria, Iran, or the visit of the Chinese vice president.
John, the other big debate this week was what to do about the payroll taxes, the president coming out and saying that needs to be done by the end of the month because there was just the two-month extension before the end of last year, and now it looks like they've got a deal in place. I believe final votes are on Friday, but Republicans in the House had been demanding spending offsets to make the extension of the existing payroll tax rates deficit neutral. They backed off that, instead focused on reducing the number of weeks folks could qualify for unemployment benefits. For those who put this House Republican majority in power as a result mainly of debt and government size issues, what's going to be the reaction?
The immediate winner in this was the president, and once again, the grumbling among the Tea Party Republicans, who comprise the overwhelming number of the 80-plus freshman Republicans elected to the House in 2010, will grow a bit more audible. The president, and I watched him do it back in December, read letters from people who were middle-class taxpayers. One in particular was the father of two college-age daughters who would have to give up a pizza night with them because his $80 a month would no longer be there in terms of the excise tax. Now, translated across the country, that's $100 billion, a lot of pizza nights. And the Republicans were saying, fine, they would go along with it with cuts. As you say, they eventually backed down on that. And the president did get his wish. Republicans still remain invulnerable on the issue of wanting tax cuts only for the wealthy. They went with it for everybody at this point. Funny, no one says that the president isn't for tax cuts for everybody, the way Republicans are. What is most probably heartwarming, if anything can be, to Republican office seekers is that, once again, they were able to hold the line on raising taxes. Ronald Reagan in 1982 was promised cuts in return for a tax increase. He went along with the tax increase, got that, never saw any of the cuts. Ditto for George H.W. Bush in 1990, and he paid dearly for it. Both were very sorry that they went in that direction. This House of Republicans under Speaker Boehner has not gone in that direction, and they can still go into an election year saying they didn't raise taxes.
John, let's move on to the presidential campaign trail now, and we're in a little bit of a lull since the next primaries are in Arizona and Michigan on February 28th. Most of the action seems to be in Michigan at this point, where the native son, Mitt Romney, who won big there in 2008, is now apparently behind either by a small margin or a big margin, depending on which survey you look at. To Rick Santorum, who's clearly surging after his three-state sweep several days ago. Mitt Romney getting endorsed by Michigan Governor Rick Snyder today. Your thoughts on a state where both of us have some roots?
Well, I'll tell you, the momentum, which I didn't see coming, but Rick Santorum and his followers certainly rolled up by winning the straw votes in the Colorado and Minnesota caucuses and the non-binding Missouri primary, was paying off. Very much like Newt Gingrich coming out of South Carolina, Santorum leads in most polls in Michigan. But there are going to be some problems out there for him, to wit. Mitt Romney, for example, is the favorite son and is backed by most of the party leaders as well as most of the elected Republicans in the state. And to my knowledge, Rick Santorum has only one backer, and I happen to know him, Glenn Clark, who's a local district Republican leader. In addition, it is thought that Mitt Romney's position that was critical of the auto bailout as it came out would be his undoing in the state. Well, it turns out both Romney and Santorum were critical of the bailout, but Romney's position is much more nuanced in the sense he wanted a normal Chapter 11 bankruptcy and in the sense of getting custom loans and other things. It was very different from the Obama bailout in which government called the shots. I think if he explains it as well as he did in an interview last night, he will be fine. And finally, remember one other thing. Mitt Romney has that super PAC that went on the attack against Gingrich in Florida. Anyone convincingly, I'm sure he'll do the same in Michigan. I talked to Henry Payne, who puts out a political newsletter, The Michigan View, and he told me there still is grassroots reluctance about embracing Mitt Romney, and Rick Santorum is the last man standing.
I ask you about your prediction periodically, John. Now seems a good time. Mitt Romney still going to be the nominee?
Yes, Mitt Romney will win Michigan by 10 points, and he will go on to be the Republican nominee.
That's a bold prediction there, given where the polls are right now. John, let's move on to the international stage. Iran making an announcement yesterday about having its own produced fuel rods that are now going to the next stage of nuclear production. The State Department says this is not a big deal. It's pretty much where they thought Iran already was, but now the sanctions talk and the banking restrictions on Iran, that talk is certainly amping up. What do you see us entering into here in terms of diplomatic or military moves outside of apparently much higher gas prices?
Well, I think we're going to be very critical of Iran at this point and more seek to get the international community to isolate Iran. That seems to be the only direction that we can go in at this point. At the same time, everyone wonders what Israel is going to do, and virtually everyone I've talked to in the diplomatic corps and other sides say Israel has made its decision. The question is just when, and you know what that decision is. Bombing Iran to keep it from having the nuclear arms that would change the balance of power in the Middle East.
Last question before we let you go, John. Last time we talked to you was just before CPAC. What was the most intriguing thing to you over those 3 days?
No, I think that's very obvious, that Mitt Romney, reportedly distrusted by conservatives nationwide, never exactly considered a warm and lovable figure by the right, won the straw poll. This is the largest ever CPAC. He won with 38% of the votes cast. And Rick Santorum came in a strong second at 31%. And guess what? Rick Santorum told an audience that there could be a case of poll rigging at CPAC. As Al Cardenas, the head of the American Conservative Union, which organizes CPAC, put it, it's very strange for someone who's a potential commander-in-chief to focus in on CPAC and make a charge like that.
Certainly an interesting way to get to end that conference for Santorum, given how popular he was going into it. John, it's going to be a fun ride here over the next week and a half or so up to Michigan and Arizona. We'll be checking in with you along the way. Thanks for being with us.
Always looking forward to talking to you, whether it's in Washington or on the campaign trail. I'm John Gizzi.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.